Okay, let's turn our Bibles to the book of Hebrews. And in the book of Hebrews, we are in verse 4 of chapter 1. We'll be looking at a number of verses the next few weeks on the fact that Jesus is much better than the angels. And we want to think about this subject as it relates to the issue at hand. Of course, the book of Hebrews is written specifically to Hebrew Christians who were considering leaving Christ and the persecution and the reproach that comes by being a true Christian and going back to Judaism, in which a human thinking you can still worship God in Judaism. And it's almost like people thinking, well, I can worship God, I can be saved and worship God through, I can still believe in God, and I can go back to the Catholic Church. If you think of what the Catholic Church teaches, well, it's exactly 100% opposite of salvation by faith. And yet, there's that kind of thinking. I read a book about a Muslim man who got saved, and rather than suffer persecution, he would go to the mosque and he would pray to God in the mosque, and that he was correlating the fact that he could still go to the mosque and be saved and pray there. Well, if you know anything about Islam, they don't pray in the mosque. They call it prayer, but it's not prayer. In the mosque, they don't pray to a personal God. They recite form prayers that are for the purpose of meriting them salvation. Well, that's the opposite of praying to God through Jesus Christ. Well, just comparing the thinking of these people. Okay, well, you have the Old Testament, you have the Old Covenant, you have the law, you have all these wonderful things, and in Christianity, we have Christ, but we also have persecution, and we have rejection from our family, and we have rejection from our culture, and we are outcasts among our people. Let's go back to Judaism. And we can have God and Judaism. In Judaism, we don't need to have Christ. Well, kind of the same thinking, isn't it? And of course, the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 13, the theme verse was, let's go outside the camp and bear his reproach. Christ crucified outside the city, the rejected one, where the sin offering was taken outside the city, the place of reproach, the place of rejection. And of course, in the book of Hebrews, from a human standpoint, Christianity cost? Money, prestige, family, pain, inconvenience, etc., etc., etc. Book of Hebrews is showing the huge superiority of Christ to Judaism. And when you think about that, that's the spiritual battle of today, isn't it? People say, I don't want to get saved. I want my beer. That makes sense. People say, I don't want to get saved. I want my live-in boyfriend. Doesn't make sense. People say, I don't want to get saved. I want my life a party. You know, there's no comparison. And, of course, the book of Hebrews, one of the key words is better. 13 times in the book of Hebrews, you find the word better. And so, we have a very precise pathway of showing the superiority of Christ. And so, in Hebrews 2:1, it says, be made so much better than the angels. Now, if you let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, it says, in verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And here we find the premise of why Jesus is superior to the angels. It shows that the Lord Jesus, even though he became the God-man, is to be far above every name and dignity. He'd be far above. And I think that that's a part of the issue. Far above angels. Not a little bit above angels. Not a little bit. But that he is far above all others. In chapter 3 of Hebrews, we have the fact that the apostle is telling us that Jesus is greater than Moses. Verse 1, wherefore, my holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. And so he's telling us that Moses, that Christ was superior to Moses. But Moses received the law by someone higher than him. And so he is now dealing with the fact of why we are talking about that Jesus is higher than the angels. Let's look at a verse that we'll come back to, Acts chapter 7 and verse 53. Talking about the Jewish people, verse 53, who have received the law by the disposition of angels. Galatians chapter 3, verse 17. It tells in the Old Testament when the law was given, there's thunders, there's lightning, there's clouds, there was darkness, there was fire, and the law was given. New Testament tells us that the creatures of God that were God used to give them the law were the angels. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. Wait a minute. Yes, first we're going to 19. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. It was ordained of God by angels. And so this law that Moses received, there was a great host of angelic beings there in Sinai. Psalm 68 and verse 17. What I find interesting is that it doesn't really tell us a whole lot about that in Exodus. And yet, it was known among the people of God that the law was given through angels. Psalm 68, verse 17. The chariots of God are 20,000. Remember, Elijah said to his servant, look around at Dotham. He said, look around. Don't you see it? The city is surrounded by the chariots of God. And notice this verse. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. And here we find, again, they reference the fact that it was angels. And so, you see, in a Jewish mind, angels are pretty important. And their covenant was given by angels and these great angelic hosts in Sinai. And so the apostle is now dealing with the fact that that these great angelic beings through which the law was given, to which they wanted to go back to which was all a part of the Judaic system, and that in the glory of God it was given to men by angels, but that Jesus is far superior to angels. And of course, what is he getting at? He's getting at that Christ is far, Christianity is far superior than Judaism. Far superior. And you know, you think about it, when you get saved, it's like before you were saved, you were just existing. You were just there. You were just in life. But when you get saved, you know, it's wonderful. And, you know, actually, before I was saved, I drove a Volkswagen Bug, you know. And, you know, it really wasn't such a great car. We would go on extension to Waukesha every weekend, and the heater didn't work. And so we had to have blankets, you know. And we had to scrape the window from the inside. And we'd stop at McDonald's and get hot chocolate, you know, for the long, cold ride home. And, you know, I was just used to say, you know, getting saved is like trading a Volkswagen in for a Cadillac. Now, Volkswagens today are pretty nice, but back then, you know, it was about the bottom of the line. Well, here we have the same principle. A lot of Christians, they get saved, and they trade in their Volkswagen for a Cadillac. Then after a few years, they forget. And they start looking back at the world. And they start looking back with longing eyes. And the things of the world become a temptation to them. You know, it really, I saw a Cadillac. I think they're about $60,000, $70,000. I don't know. Pretty fancy, you know. And, man, you wouldn't want to trade in one of those Cadillacs for a 1968 Volkswagen Beetle. That's what I had. You know, but you know what? If you get away from the Lord, you know that you've gotten away from the Lord when the things of the world start drawing you. And the temptation of the world and the things of the world, they look good. When they look good, we know we've gotten a long way away from the Lord. And that's where these Jewish people were. The Bible says they had become dull of hearing. And you know, when you come to church and you sit there and you're bored, and the truth of the Bible doesn't ring in your heart anymore, well, you become dull of hearing. You've gotten a long way away from the Lord. Your thinking has really deteriorated. And in the Jewish mind, an angel. Who? An angel. Whoa! An angel! Angels came to Lot in Sodom and pulled him out of the city and rescued him. Man, wouldn't that be something to have an angel? But the book of Hebrews is saying, you know, Jesus is not only superior to angels, but he is far exalted, far above the angels. And as far exalted above angels, certainly Christianity is far exalted above the law that was given by angels. The glory of the law being given by angels is nothing compared to what we have in Christ. As we think about these things of the book of Hebrews, we begin to think, you know what? I wonder how much Christianity has drifted away from the Lord. You know, sometimes I think about that. I read the Psalms, and here's David under the law, and he writes these wonderful Psalms of worship to God. And I say to myself, wow, that's a lot more worshipful than much, most that's coming out of Christianity. And that was the law. And Christ is far superior. And it begins to cause us to think, boy, we have really... You see, Hebrew Christians were drifting. They're drifting. And in their mind, Christ was not exalted. And I think this can be a real conviction to us. To say, boy, how much has Christianity drifted? And so, we see this great superiority that he's trying to deal with that is so important for him to present why and how the angels are superior. Christ is superior to the angels. And we'll get there. This chapter, he is going to quote 7 Old Testament passages that tell us, show us, that the Old Testament taught that the Messiah was far superior to angels. That things were said of Christ that could never be said of angels. And we will get there. But as we just introduce this subject, I think it would be good for us to think about how it's easy to become dull of hearing. And that when we have drifted away from the Lord, we begin to think that which is inferior is somehow greater than that which is highly superior. And maybe we will say one last verse, Revelation 5:14. In which we get an accurate picture of what the angels think of Christ. Verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. He sang the Messiah, heard the Messiah, there it is. And certainly the music of the Messiah puts those words in an exalted fashion of what it will be like in heaven of the angels and you and I forever and ever giving honor and glory to the Lord, for he is far higher than we can ever imagine. And we too today need to be challenged about our thinking, our spiritual life, our spiritual walk, as if in reality Christ has come down from his exalted position. And somehow, maybe even the world looks pretty good in the things of the world. Or we have lost our worship of God. And we become kind of so-so. We need to get back and think of Christ as who he really is. And you think of the hunger and the thirst that perhaps you had in the Lord at one time, and how easy it is to drift away from that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight to be reminded that forever and ever, the angels will bow before the Savior, the Lord Jesus, and worship him. And Lord, in heaven, our eyes will be fully open of how great thou art. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would begin even a work in our hearts to think of the greatness of Christ. This is a spiritual truth, Lord. It's not intellectual truth. The intellectual truth does nothing to change us. It can just sit there. But Lord, we need your Spirit to get a hold of our heart. Let this truth get a hold of our heart, that we might truly glory in the Lord Jesus and have a greater understanding of how great he is, and love him and serve him and bow down before him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.